Well, good morning, and thanks so much for letting me share a little bit of what God's put on my heart over this last little while. And a huge thanks for just being patient with us as we figure out some of this tech stuff. And also a huge thanks to Sunita, and I'm sure at least a brother or two throwing fish and water at her. And just the entire Children's Ministry team for all the work that they've been putting into putting these videos together over these last few weeks. Just really enjoy them and appreciate their interpretation of these stories that we're talking about. But let's jump in today. We live in a world that says, do this and this will happen, right? Like, follow these three steps and you'll see these results. There's the 12 steps to being happy, or the 7 habits of highly effective people, and 13 questions to ask before you say I do for a successful marriage. Right? Put these ingredients in and out comes the cake, or enter these commands and your computer will output these results. But what do we do when life doesn't go that way? What do we do when life turns out differently than we had expected? What do we do when we do everything right and things don't work out? Maybe you got all the right grades, but you don't get into the university program that you hoped for. Or maybe you have all the right qualifications, but you don't end up getting the job. Or maybe because of COVID, you lost the job that you've been doing for the last while. Maybe you've grown up in a close family and now your parents are facing a divorce. The reality is that sometimes we can do everything the way that we're supposed to, and life just doesn't work out the way that we hoped for. Now, perhaps harder and even more confusing still is this. What do we do when we choose to step out in faith and in obedience to something that we believe God is calling us to do, and right there in the center of God's will for our life, we run into obstacles or challenges? What do we do with that? Like, God, you told me to be bold about my faith with my friends or my coworkers, and now they've all rejected me, and now I'm alone. Or God, you asked me to stand up to my teammates who were making inappropriate comments about the girls in our schools, and now they've turned their attention to making fun of me instead. Or God, I was pretty sure that you were calling me to this certain career, and now I'm having a hard time finding a job, and I'm not sure how I'm going to pay the bills this month. God, where are you? Is this all just a waste of my time? Are you actually in control? Don't you care? Today we're going to take a look at the story you just heard in Mark 4, of 12 young men who decided to risk it all by saying yes when Jesus said, follow me. And now they find themselves in a boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, facing a sudden, violent storm that is threatening their very lives. And in a moment, they go from being on top of the world, thinking that nothing can stop them now, to thinking that it could all be over right now. They too shout out, Jesus, don't you care? In this story, we'll see that when the disciples' hope was challenged, Jesus communicated his care for them by calming the storm, and he demonstrated his ability to fulfill his purposes for them. Now let's jump into the story together. We find that the story of Jesus calming the storm at the end of Mark chapter 4. Just prior to this, Jesus had appointed the 12 apostles and had been preaching about the kingdom of God using different stories and parables. And we're going to jump in at verse 35. That day when the evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Let's set the stage a little bit more. Jesus had just appointed these 12 guys as his apostles. Like, these are his guys. He was going around preaching about the kingdom of God, and everyone was thinking that he was the Messiah, and specifically the one who would lead them out of being oppressed by the Roman rule. And these 12 guys were right there in his inner circle. Like, they had courtside seats to what was happening. They had given up their lives back home, their family, their jobs, to follow this man named Jesus. And so far, things were going well and only looking up. They were gaining popularity and momentum, and Jesus tells them to hop in the boat and head to the other side, and they think nothing of it. So aside from that, a number of these guys used to be fishermen. If there was the Deadliest Catch Israel edition, like, these guys would be on it. That's probably not a good reference. I don't know anything about boats or sailing in storms, but you get the picture, right? They were used to being on the water, and they had undoubtedly come across a storm or two. Like, these were seasoned pros who weren't going to be afraid of a couple waves and some lightning and thunder. So back to the story. You have these 12 guys experiencing the high of being a part of something greater than themselves, as they anticipate a takeover of the Roman Empire, and they find themselves on a boat in the middle of an intense storm, fearing for their lives. They said yes to following Jesus. They even said yes when Jesus told them to get into the boat, and here they find themselves in a desperate situation. But this was your idea, Jesus. Now the truth is this, even when we decide to follow Jesus, tough times are inevitable. Sometimes we think that by following Jesus, or by choosing to follow Jesus, it will lead to an easy life, free from any kind of major problems. It's when we're not following Jesus that things really go sideways, right? Like, look at Jonah, for example. God calls him to do one thing, he does the opposite, and he ends up in the belly of a huge fish. That kind of stuff happens when we disobey God. Surely nothing like that would happen when we choose to actually be obedient. But that just isn't the case, and we see it here. The disciples were literally exactly in the center of God's will for their lives. Jesus said, leave everything and follow me. The disciples said, yes. Jesus said, get in the boat and let's go over to the other side. The disciples said, yes. And now they're fearing for their lives in the middle of this storm. Now, perhaps you've seen this play out in your life or in the lives of people around you. A couple years ago, I had some good friends who felt like the timing was right, so they prayed and prayed for a baby to be added to their family. After a while, they found out they were pregnant, and the weekend that they announced it to their friends, she went into the hospital and ended up having a miscarriage, and they lost the baby. That was a really dark time for them as they processed how this could happen. Another one of my friends believed that God was calling him to start a ministry to youth and young adults, and after years of dreaming and putting it all together and trying to get it to launch, everything fell through. It just doesn't make sense. These are just two examples from friends in my own life of people doing everything they can to follow and submit to God's will, and it didn't go the way that they thought. The thing is, we were never promised an easy life, even as Christ followers. Actually, the Bible often tells us otherwise. James 1:12 says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Romans 12:12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And in John 16:33, Jesus himself says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Those were the words of Jesus. You will have trouble. There will be trials and hard times and circumstances that you didn't anticipate. So we see that even when we follow Jesus, tough times are inevitable. But like that verse in John 16 says, when tough times do come, Jesus remains in authority. And we see this played out in our story of our friends on the boat. Let's jump back into that story. Waves are crashing over the side of the boat. It looks like the boat is about to go down. Things really aren't looking good, and the disciples shouted to Jesus, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Verse 39 tells us what happens next. It says, he, Jesus, got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. The wind died down, and it was completely calm. Now, the first truth that we saw today was that even when we follow Jesus, even when we're in the center of his will for our lives, tough times are inevitable. And the second truth that comes as an extension of this is this. Even when tough times come, Jesus remains in authority. Now, to get a better idea of this truth, we need to take a closer look at how Jesus responds to the storm. Again, it says, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Specifically, the important part here is around the language of and the word rebuke. Now, Jesus knew that he was fighting a battle that was bigger than strictly just a brutal storm that was taking over the boat. The language in this passage implies a spiritual aspect that Jesus was addressing. It's the same language used in Mark 1:25, where Jesus drives out a demon from a man who was possessed. Aside from that, in the culture of the day, and often throughout the Old Testament, we see the sea as being a metaphor for chaos and unknown. He knows that he's dealing with more than just the weather here. There's a spiritual battle at play, and that the disciples don't even realize is going on. And Jesus exercises his authority by rebuking the storm, causing the seas to be calm. And Jesus has a track record of doing things like this. Daryl Johnson writes, it seems to me that one of the greatest needs of the church today is to recover confidence in the word of Jesus. Jesus need only speak and something happens. When Jesus speaks, something happens. Johnson goes on to write, his word not only informs, it performs. His word not only announces, it accomplishes what he announces. There's this power behind the words that Jesus speaks. He says, be clean, and the leper is made whole. He says, be gone, and demons flee. He says, Lazarus, come out, and a dead man walks out of the tomb. He says, be still, and the sea is calm. In Jesus' words, be still, we get this echo of the original creative word, this echo of a moment when into the darkness and chaos of nothingness, there came, let there be light, and there was. Jesus' word is the word of the Creator come into all the mess, the word that accomplishes what it announces. And this is why we can put all of our weight on his promises. Now, if we take this by extension back to our own lives, what would it look like if we were to realize Jesus' authority in our lives, in all of the circumstances that we find ourselves in? Do we believe that Jesus has the ability to calm the storms that are coming our way? Do we trust that Jesus is in control? Do we believe that the things that Jesus says about us, about our circumstances, about our world, will come true? Now, the truth is that when tough times come, Jesus remains in authority. He isn't caught off guard by what's happening to us. He's not surprised and unsure of what to do. Jesus was and is always in authority and always will be. And the third truth is this: when we recognize Jesus' authority, we can move from fear to faith. Jumping back on the boat, verses 40 and 41 say this. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Now, when Jesus calms the storm, he isn't playing divine weatherman. Like, yes, he calms the storm, but more than that, Jesus addresses the disciples' fear and their lack of faith that he will carry out his plans to completion. Earlier today, we talked about how the disciples were right at the start of this amazing journey of following this revolutionary leader. Everything is looking up, and all of a sudden, it's all threatened. I can imagine each of them calling into question that decision that they had made to leave everything behind to follow this man. They were literally drowning. They were being devoured by the storm. And I wonder if Jesus knew that the disciples weren't necessarily all in yet, and he used this as a teaching moment. He said to the disciples at the beginning, let's go over to the other side. He didn't say, let's go around the middle. He said, we're going to the other side of the sea. Do you believe me? Can you trust that the word that I've given you is true? Can you believe that if I am calm in the middle of your storm, it's because I've got this and I've got you? I said, we're going to the other side. We're going to get to the other side. And maybe this was the turning point for the disciples. They go from being afraid of the storm, afraid of drowning and it all being over, to a different kind of fear. And this isn't a kind of desperation and despair like we see earlier. It's fear in a different sense of the word. Other versions say that they were filled with great or reverent awe. As Jesus calms the storm, he addresses the disciples' fear, and it gets replaced with a new, deeper understanding of who Jesus is. At first, they call him teacher, and now they don't know what to call him. He becomes more than a friend, more than a wise person, and even more than a miracle worker. He is God. The disciples didn't ask for the storm. They certainly didn't enjoy the storm. And the storm itself didn't bring them closer to Jesus. It challenged them to their very core. It had them doubting everything that led them to this place, right here, right now. But witnessing Jesus exercising his authority over the storm gave them a new, deeper understanding of who Jesus is and who God is. And they become deeper people for it. They move from fear to faith. And this becomes the new launching point for the disciples in their ministry. I wonder what would have happened after Jesus was crucified if they hadn't had this experience, like seeing that Jesus will carry out his purposes to completion. Like, hypothetically speaking, perhaps maybe when the disciples were gathered around shortly after Jesus died and they were wondering what the future would be, maybe one of the disciples would have recounted this story and said, hey guys, remember that time that Jesus told us to get in the boat and go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee? And we all thought that we were going to die, but Jesus knew that everything would work out. Like, I don't know, but I think this is going to work out too. Now, what does this mean for our storm? What does this mean for the person who is lonely because their friends rejected them, or the one whose teammates are making fun of them and for signing up for the girls in their school, or the one looking for a job and a career that they believe God called them to. Maybe if we're really honest with ourselves, we've lost confidence in Jesus. Maybe we don't trust what Jesus says about us. Maybe we've lost confidence that he's good or that he's willing and able. Maybe we're crying out like the disciples, "Don't you care?" Maybe Jesus wants us to trust that he is good and that he is willing and that he is able and that he does, in fact, care. Maybe Jesus wants us to know and trust him in new, deeper ways. Maybe he wants us to trust that he will see his purposes for our lives to the end. In the words of Philippians 1:6, we can be confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. And whatever circumstances are in front of you, whatever storms you're facing, we can trust that Jesus will bring his purposes in our lives to completion. He's in the boat with us. He doesn't sit idly by. He cares deeply, and he's walking with us. He desires for us to move from fear to faith. And so, God, we come to you this morning as people facing a number of different circumstances. God, I know that there are people that are watching this sermon, that are part of our congregation, that are going through circumstances right now that feels like a storm is devouring them. And God, for each of us, we're encountering storms of greater or lesser extent all the time. And God, I pray that as we find ourselves in these difficult times, as we continue to seek out your will for us, God, that we would trust that you will bring about your purposes in our lives to completion. God, that you will take these opportunities to form us into deeper people, that we will take our eyes off of the storm and the fear of the storm and turn our eyes to you and be filled with this reverent awe. God, we pray that you will continue to work in our lives for your purposes and your glory. And we pray this in your son's name. Amen.